The following may contain NSFW content and is intended for mature audiences. Parental guidance is suggested. This is Dudes in Cars.
We have an idea to bring pedophilia to its knees in Hollywood.
Oh, there's a big pedophilia problem, you think, huh?
Well, you know, I have long had that belief. I think pedophilia is a way bigger problem than anyone really wants to dive into.
Is this based on the...
For understandable reasons in that it's unpleasant, but I think it's a huge... Oh, no, this guy's trying to go through. You can't go through just because you got your hazards on. So here's my plan for busting up pedophilia in Hollywood.
Focus with me. We're talking about something serious here. Focus.
So Clooney and Damon did an interview today. Did you see that? I think it was on Good Morning America.
No, you caught it in its entirety? Don't you have a job?
Well, no, they have the video. I mean, I just watched the video that's up there.
Online.
So they did this video. They're talking about the Weinstein thing, and they didn't know. And then Damon was kind of like, well, I sort of did kind of know because I was told, but whatever.
Because we used to tag team chicks together, but anyway.
So I'll dovetail back to that. But you saw that Corey Feldman got busted for marijuana. Now, I think that was just kind of a shakedown, but at the end of there's an article where police boarded his bus and kind of shook him down and took autographs and pictures from him, but then took cash, and then they still went to, the media and all this other shit. And
they took autographs from him, they made him sign things, or he had autographs on his bus?
No, that he's saying he autographed shit for him, and he took pictures with him, and he paid them cash.
What?
And he was kind of probably hoping that, you know, everything would be cool. But they still went to the press and did all this other shit anyway. So
how is that not bribery? How is that not bribery?
Well, no. I mean, he outright said it's a shakedown. But my point is, so he's not saying, and there's this... People are thinking eventually he's going to come clean about who was ever molesting him or whatever that was, that whole
thing. No way. Not a chance.
Now, but here's the thing. And he's saying, well, I can't do that because I won't be protected and it will affect my family and blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking to myself, I was watching this interview between Damon and Clooney, and they were kind of like, we didn't know, but we knew. And then you have Corey Feldman, I'm Corey Feldman, I can't do shit.
Right.
What if you had Clooney, in the next movie he's doing, put Corey Feldman in a role in it? Kind of made an attempt to bring Corey Feldman back. So Clooney is saying, if I knew about this, I would have done something, which nobody believes. But if you were going to hold him to that, it's like, okay, well, there... What if you did something? It's bizarre, but what if you did something? You gave him a 2-minute role in some Ocean's 14 movie, right?
Right.
Now all of a sudden he's being brought back into the fold, or at least it's being put out there Feldman is going to be protected by Clooney. He's kind of Clooney's guy. Then in that way, Feldman just does, because Feldman's got to feel like, look, I'm out on my own. I'm lucky if I get a House of Blues gig. But then all of a sudden, if someone from A-list mainstream Hollywood said, all right, we've got... Because even in this interview, Clooney was saying, we've got to do something. There has to be a reckoning that this happened and blah, blah, blah. So why wouldn't... So to the people who are victims, why not offer them some comfort? You don't have to surrender your career to them, but let them know, hey, you were ostracized. I'm now bringing you back into the fold. Get comfortable, feel free, speak out.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
Is it crazy? I don't think it's crazy.
Well, no, since Seth Green has moved behind the camera, I frankly feel like Hollywood needs a Corey Feldman to fill his void. There's a void of tiny, runty, little pipsqueak fucking foils out there. The Seth Green void must be filled.
Right. No, so that's what I'm saying.
So are you saying that, like, in Ocean's 14, they'll be going after, they'll be essentially saying it without saying it, like, maybe the villain is the guy, the abuser, so it'll be a way for him to actually name the abuser without naming him?
No.
Or are you saying just to give him some cred so he feels comfortable and secure enough to then go on Diane Sawyer and name his abuser?
That's exactly it. So, okay. For example, like, Clooney is saying, I would have done something, and we have to speak out and make it the environment feel comfortable that if you behave like this industry, you're going to get called out for it, you're going to get booted, whatever it is. Well, why not then bring the people that were getting booted back into the fold? Like, who would really stand up? Because it's so seedy now. Like, who would? It's part of the reason Rose McGowan can stand up and go, I was raped! Because, I mean, what's Harvey Weinstein going to do now? He certainly doesn't want to be seen now taking on Rose McGowan, right?
Yeah, he's going to sue his accusers. Awesome.
Yeah, so he's not going to do that. So in the same way, Clooney, if he was serious, like, let's make it feel comfortable for everybody, they can step up and the world's a better place. Why not do that, dude? If I can put some coin in the guy's back pocket, give him a 2-minute role in the movie, maybe he's not too bad. I mean, shit, McConaughey is like this Oscar-winning type actor now. A couple years ago, he was everybody's rom-com joke. I liked the guy, but I was about the only one.
Well, you love rom-coms.
And I love Matthew McConaughey, separate from rom-coms. But those two things notwithstanding, he found his way back. And then even he says, all of a sudden, after I was out for so long, I became the good idea. Like, oh, let's get McConaughey for this role.
Right. Now he's kind of weird looking. He's kind of a ruddy motherfucker, I think. I look at him in those Lincoln commercials, McConaughey. He looks weird. Think he's had work done or something? Or
no,
that's just what happens when you're out in the sun too much?
No. I think what happened is he really did some big extreme weight loss roles. And I think you do the extreme weight loss thing one too many times. I think that fucks you up. Because he was never the same after he did those, like, kind of, where he was, like, playing AIDS patients and shit.
Ew. Oh, God.
I don't know, Dallas movie, whatever that was. Whatever, Dallas Buyers Club. I think he had HIV in that. The character did, so.
Right. No, he got HIV he's that method.
That'd be impressive.
So you're telling me, if I'm following you.
And I think
you're telling me, you're telling me that if Clooney taps Corey Feldman to be Don Cheadle's, you know, cabin boy for a 2-minute cameo in Ocean's 14, that will give Corey Feldman enough stability and security to then go on with Diane Sawyer and name his sexual abuser, I guess, when he was a kid.
Well, that's the start of it. That's the start of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this plan is bunko. I think that the villain of Ocean's 14 has to be, they have to use that villain to basically out the abuser. So the villain is named Morton Scormezzi.
Right.
And it's the abuser. That's like, you know, it's probably somebody big. It's probably Rob Reiner or somebody. Eiffel Towered Corey.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you just... Yeah, I don't know. No one's going to do that. But you're not going to make an entire script about, you know, the clandestine molestation of Corey Feldman. Just put him in a couple movies, make him the good idea again. He's a welcome member of society, the Hollywood elite. And then all of a sudden, he puts it out there.
We're perilously close
to getting people to realize you can name your accuser. Like, you can go for it. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, if he doesn't feel like he can do it now, when will he? Meanwhile, it's like, I don't understand what is the media waiting for? Where is TMZ at? This is, if you're going to tell me that every woman in Hollywood has been casting couched, then how can it not follow that children have also been? So what are they waiting for? When are we going to get some fucking investigative journalism?
Well, you know what, though? Here's why. You just said why we don't get investigative journalism. You just said investigative journalism. Nobody investigates anything anymore. No joke today. I was on Yahoo's homepage, and there was a story. The Blackhawks lost last night to the Vancouver Canucks. I was like, they didn't play the Canucks last night. I went on, clicked the article. They talked about how Hobby Boulin screwed up and Dennis Savard is, upset and doesn't know what to do as a coach. It was an article from like 10 years ago. Like, that's how bad journalism and online reporting and anything is anymore. Like, shit just goes unchecked. Huge mistakes are made. Unless you put it into someone's lap, no one's going to go out and do it anymore.
Pardon the pun. Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean that.
So let me ask you then. Is it possible? Okay, so you're saying that the internet has ruined journalism and the fourth estate is that and all that stuff, and I agree. However, obviously conglomerates, six corporations now controlling all of our news, et cetera, that's all created a homogenized, pablum. So, right. Be that as it may, is the media involved in this? In other words, you had all this shit over at Fox News where it sounds like it was a fucking free-for-all.
Right. So,
I mean, is it possible that, as Hollywood goes, the media goes, Wall Street goes. In other words, is it just everybody everywhere is taking advantage of someone? And so the media really doesn't want to get too deep into this because then their skeletons will all come out.
Yes. Certainly, that plays a large role in it. But if there were certain, if Clooney's we've got to do something about this, and if I knew something, I'd turn it around. I use him as just one example of a power broker who would go, well, if they tried to silence me, it'd be a little bit too obvious. So I'm going to let my nuts hang, and I'm going to help break this. It's going to have to take some people who will do that. So, yeah, do you have members? The BBC years ago, they had this presenter, Jimmy Savile, and John Lydon was talking about him once, in 78 in this interview. And
Johnny Rotten.
Yes, and he was alluding to the fact, look, everyone knows this guy's a molester, and people knew this, he was always sleeping, or he would bed young girls. Everybody knew it. It was kind of the open secret within the BBC. And then when Lydon goes to talk about it, he even said in the interview, I know you guys are going to cut all of this out, what I'm saying. And they did. And that interview was silenced, right? And then Savile dies in 2011. 6 weeks after his death, the BBC came out with this huge investigative report about that he was sleeping with all these little girls. And so they used him for his career. And then once he was gone, they knew, hey, we also have a great story. So the same organization that covered it up then blew it up.
All right, so here, now my mind is going. And it was 300 kids, allegedly. He opened up, he did what Sandusky did. He had his own disadvantaged boys and girls home or something.
Right.
So he could have easy access. It's like if you like fucking wine, you would, you might entertain having your own little vineyard. That's what these fucking people do.
Right.
So, I think if you own a children's modeling agency, someone needs to investigate you, and maybe you should self-investigate. Maybe there's some certification program you can go through.
Right.
I'd want to be hey, I opened this because my kid was a model and I knew a few things. I had no idea. Just like the porn industry plies models with drugs, what if they do the same thing in the entertainment world for two reasons? One, to kind of get you into the loop, now you're into the club, you're in our little cult. And two, to have something over you. So you'll always be useful and
indebted
to them.
Yeah, you'll always play ball.
Yeah, what if?
Well, here's the thing. I think that's very, very possible. Very possible. Because I even think, like, in my own life, when there was a molester priest in our church, and my mom at one point was working in the church and then came across... the priest was in a car accident, and then she came across all these weird pictures and, like, sex toys and shit. And she's
like, what
is this? And then when she went to reach out to people about it, because she, like, didn't know... She didn't immediately know what to do. And this was kind of before, like, church scandal had broken and all of this stuff. So you're kind of just sitting there, like, it's too much to be believed, right?
Right.
And... When she, like, the guy's in the hospital, and then I almost got hit by a car. And then this guy's in the hospital. She lets people know, and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, like, this gay lover guy came over when she wasn't there and, like, cleared out the house. And then she even, like, went to the church to, like, maybe she could get other people to help if she knew what was going on. And people in the church were like, Teresa, just let this go. This is going to go nowhere.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
So she
worked for the church, right? She worked there, and that's why she had to, like, come in contact with his personal effects?
Yeah. Because the office was in the house, the rectory as well.
Oh, and my God. She found, like, there. Dildos and stuff?
Yeah. I was like 19, and she called me at Marquette, and she was like, Brian, I want you to be really honest with me. You're not in trouble. There's nothing wrong. You didn't do anything wrong, blah, 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 blah. She goes, did, you know, Father McGillicuddy ever touch you?
Oh, well, that's a dead giveaway, that name.
Right,
of course, Father McGillicuddy's going to be a diddler.
Yeah, he touches everybody, but... So what I'm saying,
how did you answer?
I said that he didn't. But I mean,
were you like, what? Why are you asking, Mom? Were you floored, or were you like, I always kind of got a weird feeling around him?
No, then she immediately went into why. Hmm. And then she, you know, kept trying to push and get someone to help her or help investigate it, or who's this other guy that came into the house, but it just went nowhere. And then he died. Because he was in this car wreck, and then my mom was like thinking, okay, well, this is where it stops. Now,
wow.
See that there's this huge structure in place, and what my mom walked into that was like a bit of a surprise, like, oh, why are these people resisting me? That was a whole structure in place that were like warning her, like, naive little Catholic, don't go down this road. There's nothing.
Okay, so were they covering? Did they all know and they were covering for him then?
I can't know that. But when you see the evidence now that's happened in the last 25 years, one would believe that they knew that even if they weren't actively members that covered this stuff up, they weren't, you know, the cleaners, so to speak. They knew, look, Teresa, you're one step away from meeting the cleaners. Just don't do this.
Oh, my God. All right, so was it just that, like, it turns out he was gay, or there were allegations? This all came so fast and furious at me. I might have missed that detail.
Were there
allegations of child abuse?
Child abuse against him.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, okay,
no,
yes.
No. What she uncovered... was pictures of very, what she said was very young looking boys. Like, they
Twinks.
Were young looking
yeah.
boys. Right?
Yeah, okay.
And that she found, like, books on mind control and shit. She found sexual toys and shit. But then she also found, he would go every once in a while, go down to the CCD program and ask kids about sex. What they thought a penis was and what it did. Like, all just weird
what?
Shit. And he would keep all of the answers. Like, he had a collection
what?
Of all the children's answers of what they thought sex was. And
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the mind control book, look, his homilies were that good. People were wondering, how is Father McGillicuddy so good? during his sermons.
Right, right.
He was using neuro-linguistic programming on you.
Right.
So that I can understand. Every priest should get an NLP book.
Right.
But, the other stuff, man, how do you explain
it's a little
that?
Too far.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, was your mom just crushed?
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. But, you know, I give that story up just to say, like, yes, I think there are structures in place from major sports programs to media programs to religions to schools. We have, like, all these, like, never mind, we're talking about dudes molesting. Like, how about all these schools where, like, attractive, I'm constantly sending you articles because I'm floored about these, like, hot 25, 26, 28, 29-year-old teachers that are, like, going out and, like, banging 13-year-old boys when they could go out at night and meet any dude in any bar wherever they're at.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I do know there is a matter of power, but there are also people, like, let's dovetail back to George Clooney, who would have a certain amount of power where they can't be silenced. And then you could use that. You could use that, maybe you know, as opposed to start worrying about, not that it's a bad thing, but like clean water in Africa. And now all of a sudden you get all about the sex trade and child molestation and do charities about that. And give comfort to dudes like Rose McGowan or a Corey Feldman, especially if we're talking about molestation and shit. And then all of a sudden make them relevant again. They have a voice. They feel they have a reason to say something.
Yeah, I think that's got a snowball's chance in hell, Jones, this whole plan of yours. But
yeah,
I like where your head is at.
I don't think it's crazy. And the thing that I'm most hopeful about with this Weinstein thing isn't even bringing an end to, like, dudes doing this to women, but, like, really bringing to light the molestation thing. Of course, if you stop, like, all these dudes being creep shows to chicks, great. That's awesome. But the thing that I would really be juiced up about, and maybe I feel this way because in the back of my mind, I'm like, fuck, I was, like, I could have been molested. I was that close. So maybe that's why I think that way.
Yeah,
because
I
used to work at it for summers. I would, 2-3 summers, I worked at the rectory, and I'd sometimes be by myself there, just me and Father McGillicuddy.
Yo, jeez.
Yep, inside the house. I think, too, sometimes he would have me work outside the house, like in this garden area.
Yeah.
Who used to say that dude wasn't up in the window, then, like, beating off?
Get out of here. Now you're just fucking playing with me.
Well,
your masturbation material? Come on.
To a pedophile?
Who do you think you are? How old were you?
I was 12. I'm 12,
no
13,
way.
14. I'm not pedophile material.
You probably... No, God, no. Who do you think you are?
Especially I was small for my age. I was totally
pedophile
material.
You're so full of yourself.
No way. Pedophiles would be crazy for me.
No one ever wanted to molest you, Jones. Get over yourself.
I disagree. I think a lot of people want to molest me.
Yeah, I know. When you were 12, you looked like you were like 5. You were still wearing like tough skin jeans.
Right. Well, you met me when I was 14. Did I not look like I was like 10? So now imagine me around that age or younger.
Yeah. Yeah, you
if you're a petty creep, I'm a Vanessa Hudgens in that world.
Oh, man. Oh, I never thought I would laugh about child molestation so hard. This is great. I want this to be the next step for Barry Levin or whatever at TMZ. Get the fucking people out there. Stop bothering letting us know what John Mayer had for lunch. I think we're over John Mayer, all right?
Right, right.
Stop ambushing people outside LAX. Stop going to Mr. Chow's every fucking night. Enough. Now break this story. Does Matt Drudge have to do everything?
No, I agree. I would love... But that's the thing. If we could get some mainstreamers involved in this, I think it could happen. I really do. I'm not kidding.
Clooney owes us. Wasn't he saying that we should all take in Syrian refugees?
Right.
Like, but he wouldn't take any into his, like, villa, his Italian island estate? So right, he owes right. us.
No, I agree, man. For sure.
This is his path to redemption after after bullshitting
after
about the Syrian thing.
To us.
Yeah, I think our long suffering at the hands of George Clooney must finally end.
Well, I mean, but think about it. Like, it's, you know, the guy, I mean, just think about all the hypocrisy with all those Hollywood dudes. They all knew what was going on, and they all claimed they wanted to do something about it. And they're all these activist types, right? They always want to be, you know, saving the trees. Well, this is totally, like, this is the one time where an actor could be fairly heroic. Right?
Yeah. Now, the fact that they groveled, I'll take your word for it, and didn't, it kind of came clean, kind of didn't. The fact that they're doing that, that gives me no hope. If they would have looked in the camera and said, you know what, stop fucking acting like you don't take advantage of people in your life, Mr. and Mrs. Jones in any town, USA. What we do is no different than what you do in your private dealings or in your office. It's just power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. We're no different, us as being rich, famous people. We're no different than the common hoodlum. How many times do you see a videotape of a carjacking in the hood where people, like, walk right by as a woman's being carjacked? Nobody lifts a finger to help. Or, like, you hear stories about rapings where, like, people walk by it on the sidewalk and keep on trucking in the hood. So the hood is Hollywood, is Madison Avenue, is K Street, is any town USA. We're all the same. I would have more respect if Clooney and Damon would have looked into the camera and said that.
Well, I do kind of, like, to that end, I do respect, not respect, but I'm kind of like, all right, I'll give you a little cred. Like when Jane Fonda was like, yeah, I knew exactly what was going on for like a year, and I just chose not to do anything. I didn't think it was my place. So,
nice.
No, I don't give her cred for not doing anything, especially since she's such an activist and, like, she could jump on top of a tank in Vietnam, but you can't speak up about some Hollywood producer. But at least she's real dealing it, so you kind of know what the score is. And I don't, I'm making all these suggestions because I don't think these guys are actually going to follow through and do it. But what if they did do it? And I'm saying that's a possibility that good could come of it if, like, if you played it like I did, like I'm saying. Like bringing people back in the fold, giving them comfort. Now they can speak out. Because otherwise, it's just going to keep going on. And, you know, like right now, Clooney and Damon, you know they're thinking to themselves. They have that, what, Suburbicon? That's the movie they're doing that's supposed to come out. They know that's going to tank now because their names are mud for now. And they'll just go, oh, shit. We'll just ride out this one bad flick and then people will forget. But it's like, but dude, if you guys were really the activists, you guys endlessly claim you are, like, what if you did something for once in your godforsaken fucking lives?
Yeah, right. So in Tinfoil Hatland, every now and then there's an article, kind of meme that will recur, and it's, you know, you'll know that the shit's about to hit the fan when this happens. And the this happening usually is like when they announce that there's a bank holiday. You have 3 days to get out of a major city because everything's about to go south. The ETF cards are going to fail. And when people can't get their welfare, of course, it gets kind of, you know, weirdly racist-y. So you want to close that webpage fast when that happens. But it's like, okay, I kind of dig, okay, I'll file away that warning sign and whatever for future reference.
Right.
Are you telling me that if I see Corey Feldman in a George Clooney movie, the shit's about to go down?
Yes, for sure. I would say, yeah, I would definitely go with that. No, I don't really think it's going to, I don't think it's a lock to happen, but yeah, I for sure.
Or in
think
any
that's
movie,
a sign.
Not even a George Clooney movie.
Well, no, but I think it's got to be like he can't just be doing. I was going to say direct to DVD as though that really exists anymore, but he can't do the proverbial direct to DVD flick.
No, it can't be Corey Feldman and Judge Reinhold.
No, yeah, Sharknado for 8 is not going to cut it for him.
Right, okay.
He's got to be brought into the fold. I'm saying to, like, all these fake fuckers like Damon and Pitt and Clooney and Ben Affleck, like, all right, well, then do this. Cut this guy a solid. Make him one of your boys.
Yeah, you know what? It'll be Quentin Tarantino putting him in one, because he kind of does that anyway, bringing back Pam Grier and just kind of weird, oddball casting choices.
We could
He'll
do that,
put him
though.
In his next movie.
Fine. That would actually, in terms of, I could even see him writing a character where you'd come away from it going, only Feldman could have played that, because Tarantino's so weird.
Yeah.
And Tarantino owes, too, man. He sat there knowing that Weinstein was a diddler outright. His lady was telling him, look, he was a creep to me, and he knew it. But he's like, well, he's bankrolling me.
Yeah,
he ain't
going to
bankroll you no more, so.
Yeah.
Why not throw Feldman in a flick?
So, dude, it just has to be a pervasive thing, because it's the church, it's Hollywood, it's the media. And, you know, before the election, there was this, you know, it's now been debunked, and I guess the guy will sue you. So I have to say, allegedly, this guy who owns a place in Washington, D.C., James Elefantis or something like that, who owns a place called Comet Ping Pong, became, you know, it was like linked to, I get verklempt every time I talk about this, the Podesta brothers. And of course, John Podesta was part of Hillary Clinton's campaign. And
right.
So then it kind of was linked to her, and Alex Jones jumped on it. And then he had to, like, make this humiliating apology on his show, kissing Elefantis' ass. But it is kind of like, okay, why are you, James, whoever the fuck, Comet Ping Pong guy, why are you in, like, the who's who of Washington, D.C.? You own a pizza parlor.
Right.
Why were you named as one of the top 50 most powerful people in Washington, D.C. By some magazine or something? Like, who the fuck are you? And the media never really did get to the bottom of who the fuck he is. And then there were weird videotapes of, like, transvestite singers. And it's a pizza, like a family pizzeria.
Right,
like,
right.
But these weird fucking, like, sexual, like, burlesque shows going on there on Tuesday nights. There were just weird things going on there.
Right.
And so, like, this story keeps popping up again and again. And really, the only guy I've seen that's been taken to task, oddly, was a victim of child abuse, Milo Yiannopoulos, who got taken down about a year ago for joking about his molestation as a child.
Yeah.
Well. At the hands of Father McGillicuddy. But, you know, and he, like, had this, you know, grand downfall for not taking it seriously enough. Meanwhile, he was a victim. So, like, the only person who's taken in the ass in this whole thing is somebody like Milo. You thought I was going to say the whole thing, but
right.
I'm not.
No, very good. I'm proud of you.
I stopped short for
thing.
Once. I pulled up short.
I'm proud of you. That was big for you. I know it wasn't easy.
I'm maturing.
Here's the only thing. I get what you're saying. There is something, though, where I don't believe Milo's story. However, that wasn't the thing that people were taking him down about. So, to that end, I understand the point that you're trying to make, even though
He was saying it's actually not a bad thing. Molestation isn't a bad thing. I get it. I understand.
No, but also, he actually played it up. And he, in a way, though, he was kind of another one of those guys as well, because he claimed to be at some Hollywood party with Brett. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's kind of been known as one of these young boy Hollywood director types that throws these parties for all these, like, fairly close to, if not completely underage, gay dudes. And he was at one of these parties, and he wouldn't even really, like, talk about it. He's like, oh, there were so many people there, but I don't want to say. And it was just like, can somebody say something? I mean, like, why? That is scary if you think about what do these people have and hold that people are scared. You could be a child molester. If you were cheating on your wife right now and you thought there was a chance it would come to light, you'd be scared to death. What power would you have? Anybody who would know any information would have power over you. But that these people that are molesters, oh, I can't say anything, I can't do anything, like, what do they have? Like, they're not... And whenever they eventually do get outed, they don't seem like they're the brightest people, like they were just completely outsmarting people. Just through somehow some kind of bullying will, they were able to pull this off, you know?
Well, I mean, just the evilness that you have to have in order to do that act. I mean, that's got to, especially if you're a victim, you're like, well, fuck, what will this person not do? What are they not capable of if they're willing to molest a 10-year-old or whatever the fuck?
Right.
So I could see being afraid of them, even though you're still you're a grown man.
Right, right. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just shocked to this point. Like, you hear this stuff. It was going Saville going on 20, 30 years. Weinstein going on 20, 30 years. Like, one of these guys didn't fuck up or cross the wrong person before that. It's just shocking. But I get, maybe it shouldn't be shocking, because here I'm asking a town to stand up and do something about this shit when they can't even stand up and do anything about Roman Polanski except stand up to applaud him or fall all
over
themselves.
Yeah, there you go, right there, dude. When they were applauding him, dude, I mean, I can't believe I continued to patronize to the extent that I did after that. Like, yeah. I couldn't, my eyes were bulging out of my head. I couldn't fucking believe that he got an abstentious standing O at the Oscars. And unless people were like, because there's been a lot of controversy about his case, some people don't believe it, but I've never really heard that.
No.
It feels like everyone kind of is like, yeah, no, he was fucking 13-year-olds in the hot tub, and then he took off to Poland or France or wherever the fuck.
Yeah, I thought it was Switzerland. Maybe he's in France. Whatever.
Whatever.
I always remember, I think it was Rob Lowe was on Howard Stern. And I remember he was telling a story about he was with Roman Polanski at this party where, like, all these, like, young women were. Not, like, girls, but, like, young women. Or at least Rob Lowe doesn't allude to girls being there, just, like, young of age, nubile ladies.
Ingenues.
And I guess he was an actor that was, you know, coming up in Hollywood. He probably had done The Outsiders or some shit like that or whatever. I forget what his real first breakout flick was. I forget if he was already kind of a thing at 15 or 16. But anyway, Lowe tells this story, and he was telling it for different reasons. It didn't even stand out to him. But he was at some party, all these young nubile ladies around. He was 18 years old, and he was just talking to girls. And he kind of didn't know what to do in terms of just taking a girl and going off to one of the rooms. I guess the party was coming to a close, or the girls were going to leave, or whatever it was. And he jokingly was recalling that Polanski came up to him and was like, can I ask what you're doing? He's like, oh, just hanging out, just talking. He's like, well, you need to make a decision. You can't stay here all night, or else you'll left to, you know, be jerking off. Like, pick a woman and let's go. And when I heard that story, I thought to myself, like, what kind of fucking adult gives a rat's ass about an 18-year-old boy getting laid? You know what I mean? Like, there's a creep factor there, even though it technically is not illegal. That, like, you're hanging out with some 18-year-old boy just making sure, like, dude, you're not going to get laid if you don't grab a lady. So go grab a lady. Chip chop.
So, well, I don't know. There's an older brother, kind of younger brother sensibility there. I kind of can almost get on board with
maybe
that.
Maybe if it was literally your brother.
Sometimes you want to see the young bucks succeed. I don't know. So long as they were all legal, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
No, I thought you were going to tell...
I'm not saying that there's a problem with it. I'm not saying there was...
That's a glimpse into the creepiness of this fucking Polanski guy.
Yeah, exactly. Something that you and I never would have thought of. Never. Well, you know, we were talking about a couple weeks ago being a good wingman. Right? So if you were out with some, you know... I don't know, young
somebody's nephew
or niece, and you just thought you could be cool. You'd be kind of the fun uncle and be buying beers, and he met some ladies, having a good time, and let it go. Great, great, great. I could see that, but like someone that's not a blood relative, 18 years old, and you're like counseling them on making sure you go grab a woman so you get laid. Again, not illegal, but a glimpse into your mind. That I would be, man, if I saw some 18-year-old kid at a party struggling to pick up a lady to get laid, I guess he's having a weird weekend. I'm not doing shit about it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that Roman was like, what are you doing? You need to get out of here because these ingenues are mine.
No.
Or let me film it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that I have a certain depravity, and I think that you sometimes would say, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you do. But, I mean, like, honestly, dude, aren't I vindicated in this world? Like, on the scale of 1 to fucking Hollywood, I'm in, like, Dubuque, right?
Yeah, oh, no. I mean, I'm not, like, I just think you're more, I don't know. I just think you're of that stern, tortured man ilk. I don't think you're, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it can't all be bad. I mean, I've learned a few things until you and I had a few conversations. I didn't know what an ATM was.
You know? That's your favorite acronym.
Yeah.
That's your favorite one.
That is.
I like DDP
was
still.
Just so, you just plainly threw it out there like complete common knowledge. And I was just like, and I was probably, even when you referenced it, I was probably like 36. And I was just like, hey, what's an ATM? Obviously, you're referring to it like being with a woman. Like, oh, yeah, and you'll see those chicks in the ATM videos. Like, ATM video? Well, what's that?
Yeah, I know. I know. You're used to, like, BBC, BBW, DP, you know, the normal acronyms. But
yeah.
ATM, that's off the beaten path.
No, yeah, you're next level on that. Again, nothing illegal about it. So I'm not, I wouldn't put you in this complete, like, completely depraved category.
No, I think I'm pretty average and maybe even a little bit naive and, you know, unworldly, as it turns out.
I wouldn't say you're unworldly for our age.
All right. Well, I think that I think the whole world's off its fucking rocker, Jones. And anybody who would get their kid into acting,
I know,
has probably got like a screw loose anyway. And so I don't think there's going to be any shortage of children showing up for auditions, even after this.
Oh, I know. That's what's crazy. That's what's crazy. You will find more parents concerned about their kid playing tackle football than being left with some director or modeling agent.
Yeah, meanwhile, like, dude, it's everything I can do to, like, I've decided that I have to put in headphones at my kid's soccer game from now on.
What?
Like, we've just hit a streak of shitty teams where the parents are douchey and the kids are douchey.
Really?
And then that kind of has gotten the parents on my sideline kind of crabby and douchey back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, some of them are kind of naive. Like, they don't understand that it's a physical game. Like,
right.
I feel like, you know, they're new to soccer. And so I'm kind of trying to help them. Like, no, you can do that. You can do that. That's not a foul. I'll try to say it rhetorically. Because, you know, I do. They got to play physical. I'm sorry. But it's not. This is not, like, no hands, no touch, this game. But some of these teams have been kind of assholes. The kids are assholes. They're complaining. They're talking shit to the refs. They're eight and nine, you know. So it's like, whoa, what's that?
Yeah.
And the parents are, too. The parents are yelling shit at other parents on my side and stuff. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with this. And it's kind of, first of all, it bums me out. Second of all, I can see that it's taking a bit of a toll on my kids. So I'm having to, like, reset with them and be like, no. You don't let any of that garbage get into your head. You're here for fun, for fitness, teamwork. I'm trying to reinforce all the things. And I'm like, if those kids on the other team are complaining, fuck them. And if the parents on their side are complaining, tune them out. Just go out there and have fun. Play tough, play aggressive, play the right way, and everything's going to be fine. But no more getting in the car and complaining about the way teams are playing or any of that bullshit.
Yeah.
I want to hear it. And if it keeps up, I'm going to take you out of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm like, and in the meantime, I'm going to put in headphones. And I'm just going to chill because these parents are fucking crazy. And it's like, dude, your kid's not going pro. What's your fucking problem? They're eight!
Right.
So it's just parents, dude. It's just parents, man. They're nuts, and they have to live vicariously through their kids. So they'll still be lining up at these auditions, bringing their kids in. I would get so sad seeing kids at these agencies when I would go in for my dopey voiceover stuff.
Right.
And there would be kids sitting out there, a beautiful spring day, and they're just stuck in the lobby waiting to go into some shitty audition for some fucking, like, commercial or something. Not even anything cool.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Sickening. And sometimes these people were going to 2 or 3 auditions a day, so...
Oh, that blows.
I know, when I was, like, you know, 24 or whatever, I shouldn't have given a shit at all, but... You know, I'd look and I'd be like, geez, never my kid, man. No way. No how, no way.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. That may be... We may be hitting on something. The vicarious aspect of it is a problem. The vicarious nature of living through your child. But somehow addressing, finding a way to identify the insecurities of people that, like, seek out power... Like that stuff that matters to them. I'm telling you, actually, I did have an idea that just popped into my head. You know, and this is another bizarre thing. So when I say it, people are going to be like, this is dumb. But, and I've told you this before, I think another thing that would start, it wouldn't address, I'm not talking about addressing the issue of like child molestation, but what I'm talking about is people taking advantage of other people, you know, having a lust for power and trying to impose themselves on others. If we introduced Brazilian jiu-jitsu into our school's curriculum, I think that would go a long way. Because within that, more than any other sport, more than any other physical discipline, anything, you're working towards an end where once you get there, as long as someone recognizes your success, then you stop, you quit, you tap out. And mm-hmm. people get into a habit or a pattern of admitting when they've made a mistake and they're going to lose, they tap out. Or when someone admits, okay, you got me, I've had enough, they get into that discipline of, I've proved, you know, the quote unquote, I've proved my point. Kind of a thing. Or I've even been in situations where people like knew they had me and I was trying to get out of it foolishly and putting them almost in a bad spot where it was like they were almost forced to hurt me, and then they'd be like, hey, why don't we just try to start over? And they, because I think they develop that part of their brain like, dude, I don't have to win at everything here. And I think there's a nature to that art where it's throwing the fish back into the water. You do that enough times and you don't have to have, you know, the picture with the 30-pound bass or whatever a big bass would be, I don't know.
Interesting. So wait a second, though. Do they give you any instruction in BJJ on... Because, I mean, there has to be a point where even though the arm bar is sunk in, you have to go right up to that edge.
Sure.
Because if you always just get in an arm bar and then tap out, like, that's not... That's not the spirit of the discipline either.
Sure, but you want to when if
so. So they do describe. Do they arm you with some sort of tactics as to how to know where that edge is without breaking your arm once
sure.
and then knowing?
Well, for example, if you're going up against them, like the example I gave you, when someone they knew they had me, and I deep down knew they had me, but I just thought warrior mentality. You try to fight through it or figure it out. There are certain things when you get A, B, C, and D in place, then all you have to do is crank down and put pressure, and you got them. You either can snap a ligament or a bone or pass them out. So someone who's really good going up against someone who isn't that good, they kind of know, like, I got A through D here, and dummy is just going to make me crank down on him. I'm going to give dummy another chance here.
And okay, so there's like a checklist, and you know the checklist. Everyone knows the recipe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, no big deal. You're like, all right, there's no escape. But, I mean, I've seen guys get out of deep arm bars.
Right, but...
And it looked like they were just about to have their arm break, and then they got out of it. So,
right.
I mean, that they're professionals. That's different, but...
But here's the thing, though. They're in an environment where if it went wrong and they snapped the elbow, they signed on for it. Whereas if you were, like, let's say...
Whoa, Trump. Whoa.
That's true, though.
Oh.
But...
You're real insensitive.
No, but they signed on for it. They know what the game is. One's trying to absolutely defeat the other person for money and prestige and blah, blah, blah. But if someone you know, if someone's in a class and they know I've done A through D, I know that there's no escape.
Right.
I'm going to let this, you know, I'm going to... Now, there are probably some... It's risk-reward. If someone has you in a position where they've done A through D, and they have you, maybe it isn't 100% success rate just doing that. But they have you at an 85% success rate. And since you're just in a class, it's probably... And what I'm talking about is... They've absolutely executed the move. Now they only need to apply pressure. So it's not cheating themselves and they're not really doing it. So what I'm saying is you do that, you discipline yourself that way enough, you kind of, you know, there's something gracious about the person that is graceful about being the big man on campus or big woman on campus. And I think that type of discipline does have value. You always think about it, too. Like, I think even back to, like, as a kid, you know, the people that I knew from, like, grammar school, high school, even college, like, the guys that were on the wrestling team and stuff, so many of them were calm, and they weren't these hot-headed guys versus maybe some dudes that were on the rugby team or some people that we knew growing up that studied karate where it was about, like, hitting the guy and, like, beating them to the punch and power and all that shit. Where
right.
the other guys who are in these disciplines where you just need to control the person, you're just seeking control, they tended to be
right.
more controlled.
Okay, the leverage... disciplines as opposed to the smash.
Exactly. So if you went into a leverage discipline, ultimately you are going to have those moments where you have the leverage and the better players are always looked at the ones who don't have to prove the point. And to get to that level, you're going to be someone who has had to have been leveraged several times.
Right.
So there's a respect level there. It's totally off base about what
I would love to see it. It's fucking brilliant, Jones. You've done it again. Once again, the childless man has solved the problems of people with children.
I should start having kids.
How do you do it? Yeah, no. No, because then you'd get too close to the situation. It would cloud your judgment.
Well, it was funny.
Like baby brain. Women get baby brain. It's a real fucking thing, dude. Children actually lower your IQ.
I know. How is that possible?
Just because they add such a complexity and a laboriousness to life that you get in this habit of just of bullshit. You're able to, like, you have a lot of downtime, so you're able to step back and actually look at things with fresh eyes.
Well, no, and that's, I was even thinking as you were talking, like, well, I can come up with these ideas that would make the lives of children better because I have the time to sit there and think about it. But at the same time, like, the baby brain thing I never completely got, but even women talk about it. And I could see where you have kids, maybe scheduling-wise, you get worse, or you get forgetful because you're juggling so much. But people go beyond that, and they say, no, like you just said, you lose IQ points. Like, I've had women say, like, I'm less intelligent now, I'm dumber now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually a proven scientific fact, but it seems that way.
That's crazy. And I'm not saying it's not, because I've heard other people say it.
Well, and dude, like, look, man, like, before I had kids, I went to, like, museums, art museum and stuff. Like, I don't do that shit now.
Yeah.
I go to, like, fucking, like, horrible, like, cartoon movies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, soccer games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no arts. There's no arts for me.
Right, right.
There's no stimulation. And the other thing, when you have kids, dude, when you have kids, you hate kids. So then you know, you don't want to sit around thinking about kids when you're not with your kids or when you're with your kids. When you're with your kids, you want to pretend you're someplace fun. And when you're not with your kids, you want to have fun. You don't want to be sitting around thinking about these little cretins. So you're in a perfect position to solve the problems of people with children. Keep up the good work. Yeah, keep up the good work, Jones. You being heretofore childless that you know of, you're one of the greatest assets to people with children.
I find that remarkable.
One of the great dichotomies, unforeseen dichotomies of our time.
I wouldn't have guessed that before we started this conversation, but that's why we have them.
Now if we could get fucking Clooney on board. He don't have kids yet, does he?
No, he just had twins.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, he's fucked now, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if we could just get Clooney on board, Clooney and Jones against the world.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what he could do. Clooney could bring Feldman back into the fold. As far as I know, Feldman doesn't have kids. And then all of a sudden, Feldman is rebirthed as this star. Feldman saves the world.
Feldman saves the world. I think Feldman's got kids, dude.
I don't know. He might. I didn't think he did, but.
Well, I mean, well, what family is he referencing then that he's trying to protect?
Well, I don't know. I would think brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces. I've never really heard him reference kids. He might have them, though.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say I know.
Protect your family. My family, they're all over 21. They're all on their own. My kids, now that's the family that I have to protect.
Well,
but
I mean,
that's just one of...
He might have nieces or nephews.
Yeah, well, whatever family he's trying to protect, after he beats this drug rap, let it be a lesson to him and all Yankees. Don't ever drive through Louisiana for any reason.
Right. Oh, fuck.
Especially if you got a pinch of weed in your pocket. What are you thinking?
Yeah, no shit. Well, they're doing the whole medical marijuana, and they had the prescriptions and all that shit.
He's going to beat this rap, you think? He doesn't need to bring in Mark Garagos?
I think he'll beat it.
All right, well, this has been great. You've solved yet another problem, Jones. Congratulations.
Thank you.